All right. Take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to look, first of all, to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Very familiar scripture, hopefully, for most of you this morning. Very familiar passage, but I want to preach you a message this morning on the truths of the lake of fire. You say, wow, that just killed it, right? Doyle, you might want to turn the air conditioner up. They're already starting to fan. Now, actually, what you should do is, when you know you're going to preach on hell, turn the air conditioning down. Try to give a real good positive effect there. Try to make people feel it, you know. In the old days when they didn't have air conditioning, and, you know, I think that helped out. But, you know, hell is a word that's not used any much anymore, except for in profanity, the wrong way. The place called hell is not spoken of that much. You know, think about it. I mean, some of you listen to the radio. I don't listen to the radio. Little preaching this on the radio today that I know of, other than maybe what Brother Welder does, is on hell. I mean, when's the last time? Think about it. I want each one of you just to think in your own minds, when's the last time you heard a sermon specifically on the topic of hell? Used to be preached all the time. You know, the old-timey preachers, they were called hellfire and damnation preachers. And you say, yeah, preacher, but that went out of style. Well, maybe so. That's probably why more people have went there in the last century than maybe any other time before. I don't know. Just comparative the numbers, I'm not sure. As you know as well as I do, no one knows exactly one person's soul from another. I can't look at you and say that you're saved, no more than you can look at me and say that you're saved. You know, we profess salvation, yes. Some of you hopefully have the some fruit to go with it. But you know what? When it comes down to salvation, you know in your heart what you did and why you meant it, and whether you meant business with God, whether you've ever come to God and asked Him to save you, whether you're trusting your works or you know, membership of the church or some other thing besides the Lord Jesus Christ. Only you know that. But the Bible speaks a lot of the word hell. The Bible says, 54 times, I believe, in a King James Bible, if the little program I used on that or the facts I got from that, 54 times the word hell is used in the Bible. Now, if you have a modern translation, you might not find the word hell there. They've changed it to Gehenna. They've changed it to Hades. They've made it a place of Greek mythology. Well, hopefully after the sermon today, you'll realize it is not a place of mythology. It is a very real place. It is a very place of torments. It's a place of a lot of things. But, hopefully you say, well, I thought you said you were going to give truths about the lake of fire. Well, hopefully I will. By the end of the message, I hope that you understand, hey, there is a difference between hell and the lake of fire. They're different places. They're for different times. They're in different things, different times of the Bible. And I hope this morning that I'll be able to get across some truths of these things and help you to understand biblically what they are, how they're different, how they work, who goes where, when, and how, and all of those things. But we're going to start this morning by looking at the word, looking at the place called hell in John chapter number. Where did I tell y'all to go? Luke 16. I'm in John. That won't work. I hope I told y'all. Did I tell y'all Luke? All right. At least I told y'all one place and went another. We're on track this morning. Luke chapter number 16. Most of you know this famous passage. Now, out of the 54 times that we find the word hell in the Bible, Jesus was the one that spoke about them. At least, I think it's 16 times he used the term hell. That's right at, for those mathematicians out there, that's 29.6, I believe, percent. So we're going to round it up and say 30% of the time that you find the word hell in the Bible, Jesus is the one that uses it. So you see, it was a favorite topic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but if you compare, Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. And if you look at it, there's more facts in the Bible in regards to hell than there is about heaven. You say, well, that seems strange. No, because you don't really have to worry about heaven. If you go there, you'll find out all the facts. But you do not want to go to the place called hell or the lake of fire. So therefore, he gave as much warning. He gave as many warnings as there are, as you can find here in the Bible. Now, many people say, oh, Luke chapter 16, this is a parable, preacher. This is not an actual teaching. This is a parable. Well, number one, there's nowhere that it says it is a parable. Number two, the people are named. Usually in Jesus' parables, he does not give names. This is a specific specific event. These are specific people that died, and one went to paradise and one went to a place called hell. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse number 19, there was a certain rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I don't really have time to go into it for the sake of this morning's message. You know, I got to try to get you out of here by 3 o'clock anyway. Brother Holes is wanting to preach tonight. And so I thought about, well, if I just preach normal, I might have the whole crowd still here by the time he's ready to go. He said he wanted you all to come back, right? So maybe we could look at it that way. No, I'm just kidding. I'll try to get you out of here in time for lunch or supper, whatever it's referred to, by the day. But notice here, hey, when this rich man died, the Bible says he lifted up his hells and lifted up his eyes in hell, and he was in torments. Now you say, where is hell? Well, the Bible says here, obviously, it is close to a place that Lazarus went, because Lazarus went to a place called Abraham's bosom here. It says there in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So obviously, at this time period in the Bible, they are hell and Abraham's bosom are side by side. Now you say, well, that doesn't make sense. Can't they go back and forth? No. Let's read on. We'll look at another verse. The Bible says in verse 24, and he cried, that's a rich man, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. If you don't believe hell's real, the rich man believed it after this point. Bible says, but Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Besides, here we go, and besides all this, betwixt us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which should pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So there's a great gulf there. You say, I don't understand that. Well, guess what? I don't understand it either. You're in good company. You're right alongside of me this morning. But the Bible teaches it. The Bible says it's so. How does it work? I don't know. But somewhere in the center of our earth, in the center of this earth, down there in the heart of the earth, as Jesus said, there is a place called hell. And at one time, there was a place called Abraham's bosom. And it was separated by a great gulf. Now, the Bible says here that there's this gulf. They cannot pass from one side to the other. But obviously, they can see from one side to the other, because the rich man, he opens his eyes and he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, right? Now, notice here, so we see some truth so far, but we're seeing some things about hell. Now, you say, preacher, are you sure they're in the heart of the earth? Well, let me read a verse for you. I want you to stay put there in Luke, but I'll jump over and read a verse. If you want to write it down, if you're taking notes, that's fine. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40, when Jesus was asked to give a sign in regards to the fact that he was the Son of Man, notice he says in verse 39, but he answered said unto them, an adulterous and evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days, that's talking about Jonah from the Old Testament. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So where did Jesus go when he died? He went 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. I know his body went in the tomb. You go over to Luke chapter 23, you read all about it. In Luke 23, he said three things. There's three things said in regards to where he went when he died. In Luke 23, he said, some of you are familiar with this, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So where did the spirit did the Lord Jesus Christ go? It went to God, right? That's why Ecclesiastes said the spirit goes back to God who gave it. When you die, your spirit's going back to God. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You mean a lost man's spirit goes back to God? Yeah, what's the difference? It's dead. See, that's why you have to be born again. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. It returns to God who gave it. But you know what? The soul, that is who you really are. See, your body, your flesh, it goes in the grave. What did they do with the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But then they took his body, Joseph of Arimathea, begged the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he put it in his own tomb, right? And it went into the earth there. Now you say it didn't go back to dust. No, it didn't have time. It was only in there 3 days before the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected. But you say, well, where did his soul go? Well, it's funny. He told that repentant thief on the cross, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So therefore the Lord Jesus Christ went to paradise. He went to the heart of the earth because he just told him here. He said, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now we go over here and we look at something. I want you to look at this one because I want you to see it. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ, not only did he go to the paradise side, but obviously he went to hell. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 31. By the way, this is all introduction. We'll get to the message in about a half hour. You know, it's one of them. You got to build it. You got to have an introduction. Then we'll have about a 5-10 minute sermon. I promise. Well, maybe 15. Give myself some leeway there. But notice here, Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 27. Now, you say, oh, this is the prophecy of David. Yeah, but he wasn't speaking of himself. In the Old Testament, in Psalms, Peter is quoting this, Acts chapter 2, verse 27 on the day of Pentecost. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the way of life. Thou hast made full joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. How do you know he's not speaking about David? Because David didn't come out of the grave. David was still buried when Peter's preaching this. Verse 30, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Now look at verse 31. And seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. That is what? That his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Say, I don't understand that. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered everything that a lost man would suffer when he dies without the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered all the punishment so that we wouldn't have to. The Bible says not only did he tell the repentant thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, but he also had to visit that other side that we call hell. And I'm telling you, if Jesus had to go there, do you think there's any way possible that a lost man's going to get out of going? See, think about that. I mean, we could probably just stop and preach that right there, and that'd be the whole sermon. We won't do it, but we could. You think about that. I mean, hey, you know what? Lost people today, they don't believe in a literal hell. There's theologians that don't believe in a literal hell. There's Bibles that don't even speak of a literal hell. But you know what? Hey, if the Lord Jesus Christ had to go there and endure that punishment for us, do you think there's any way possible that you can reject the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can die without being saved, and God is not going to send you to a place that He sent His own Son? People say, oh, but God is love. Exactly. And God loved you enough to send His Son to die for your sins and to send His Son to endure that place. But you know what? He couldn't be holding of Him. And He resurrected there. He resurrected His Son 3 days later. And He's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Why? So that you and I could be saved. So that you and I could receive salvation. So that you and I could go there. And then people are going to say, no, I don't want that, but I'm not going to go to hell. It's ludicrous to think that. Say, you just called me ludicrous, preacher. I didn't do it intentionally. The Bible says that. Does it not? Say, wow, boy, this is the introduction. I don't even want to think about the message. It gets worse. Let me just go on with you. All right. So notice here, hey, hell is a literal place, and the Lord Jesus Christ went there. You say, where is it? It is in the heart of the earth. It is the destination of any person who dies without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way around it. You say, what about the place called purgatory? It doesn't exist. You say, well, it's found in a Bible. Not in a King James Bible. You won't find the word. You won't find the place. You say, why? I mean, hey, you know what? Hey, because Jesus went to hell. He didn't go to purgatory. Bible says 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And part of that, He said, thou will not leave my soul in hell. Thou will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Talking about His flesh. Why? Because He resurrected Him there. But let's move on. So notice here, back over to Luke chapter 16. Not only where is hell, it's in the heart of the earth. But not only who goes there, lost people when they die. Say, so you die without the Lord Jesus Christ and God? God is love. How could a loving God, let me ask you something, how could a just God not send you there? See, you can't have it both ways. Modern day Christianity wants it both ways. God is love and a loving God. He might send you there for a brief moment to teach you a lesson, but then He'll let you out. Well, that's kind of true. It's kind of true. We'll get to that. You say, whoa. At least maybe now you're interested. Hopefully. I don't know. But notice here. Hey, the lake of fire. It's a place for lost people when they go. Hey, notice here. If you look at the rich man back there in Luke 16. What is hell? Hey, it's a place of torment. You know what? That's the very first thing. Notice what it says. And in hell he lifted up his eyes being what? In torments. Hey, the world says today, hey, we're going to have a party in hell. I don't think so. You say, why? Because the rich man didn't go to a party. You say, why? Because the Bible says he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Hey, it's a place of torments. Not only that, but you know what else? It's a place of remembrance. In verse 25, Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime. You know, I had a preacher when I was growing up. Boy, he preached on hell all the time. I mean, I think it was his favorite topic. But then you think about it, it was probably Jesus's one of his favorite topics also. Say, why? Don't worry about preaching about heaven. You're going to get to enjoy that if you get saved. Hell's what you have to endure if you don't. But he preached on it all the time. You know what he used to say? You know, he based it on this verse. He would say, hey, he said, I believe that a person in hell, and you can't prove this doctrinally, but it makes good preaching. He said, that didn't sound right, did it? But it's true. He said, I believe, he says, remember thou in thy lifetime. He says, I believe a lost person is going to remember the last opportunity that they had to get saved. And they said no. You think that's not going to play over and over and over? Let me ask you something. I made this mistake yesterday. I make lots of mistakes. I know y'all don't believe that, but it's true. You ever pick the wrong restaurant? And the whole time you're sitting there, I could have went over there. I could be eating it. I'm eating this and that. I could be eating that. I mean, don't that drive you nuts? Now, that isn't nothing compared to what it's going to be like sitting in hell thinking, I picked the wrong person. I picked the wrong way. Broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto the righteousness. Hey, I picked the wrong way. I mean, boy, you talk about, hey, how many of you have ever been driving and picked the wrong road? You know, I've done that before. Right, teens? We did that one year on going trying to get to Southland. Where you at? There's Spencer, yeah. Pick the wrong road. Don't pick the wrong... Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you're driving with teens, don't pick the wrong road. Especially if it leads into the bad part of town. Trader chains fell off. We're in the bad part of Houston. And they said, what are you stopping for? I said, I got to get out. I got to fix those chains. Spencer, number one, in my driver's seat, co-captain there, you know, he said, you're on your own. I stepped out of the truck and cha-chunk, boy, you heard all the doors lock. I'm like, they're serious about this. You see, why? Because you picked the wrong way. Hey, can you imagine? Hey, we make fun of that, but hey, there are folks in hell. Why? Simply because they chose the wrong way. They chose the wrong path. They chose to believe the wrong thing and don't think they won't remember it. They... after day, after day, after day. It's a place of remembrance. Notice also the Bible says it's a place of desires. So that don't sound right, preacher. Well, look, first thing he said. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He desired mercy. And he couldn't get it. He desired a drop of water to cool the tip of his tongue. And he couldn't get it. He desired to have his brethren not come to that place. And God told him, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't believe you if you came out of the grave and told them about it. They don't, folks, people don't believe in hell. You say, why? It's a Bible place. You know what? Most of the time we don't believe things because we don't want to believe them. If you're here this morning, hey, you either accept the Word of God and believe what it says, or you say, you know what, I just don't really want to believe that. And you won't believe it until it happens. until it happens. Notice there, it's a place of torments, it's a place of remembrance, it's a place of desires, it's a place of waiting. It's a place of waiting. Notice he says there, and besides all this, verse 26, besides all this, and us use the great goal fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren that may testify unto them, lest they come unto this place of torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they hear not Moses the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Say, what did he have to do? He had to wait and see if anybody else showed up. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine waking up in hell, being in the position of this rich man, the torments, the pain, the sorrow, the all that, and then just have to think, but boy, you know, I know somebody on earth that was lost. Boy, I sure hope they don't come here. Maybe it's my father, maybe it's my mother, maybe it's my kids, maybe it's my brothers, maybe it's my sisters, maybe it's my neighbor, whatever. Could you imagine having to wait on that? It's a place of torments. That's why that word is spoken first, and it sums up all the other things. You ever hear somebody say they're tormented by their own mind? Say, oh, well, maybe that's what hell is. Maybe it's not literal fire. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, he said, where the fire is not quenched. He said that five times. And where the worm dieth not. Why? Because it's a place of waiting. There is no end to it, so to speak. Now, let's say, well, what about hell? That's where hell, that's hell. That's the lake of fire. I mean, that's hell. That's not the lake of fire. Take your Bibles. Let's look at another place the Bible speaks of. Take your Bibles. Jump over to Revelation chapter number 20. So let's go on over here, Revelation chapter 20. Say, boy, that's a bad thing called hell. Yes, sir. That's a real place. Yes, sir. That's a place I don't want to go. I sure hope not. But there's a worse place than hell. Say, preacher, what do you mean? How can anything be worse than hell? What's that old saying? It can always be worse. You know, it's funny. We went to the Alamo yesterday. I was in San Antonio for a day or so with my wife. She went on this school trip. It was all paid for by them. So I got to go and lay up in the hotel room and sleep and have a good time, enjoy myself while they went off and did school stuff. And drive to Chick-fil-A all the time and go to Bass Pro Shops. I mean, that's, you know, that's a dream, right? I mean, you know, living a dream. Chick-fil-A and Bass Pro Shops. Then you have the nightmare because you walk into Bass Pro Shops, you ain't got no money. But at least you're living the dream, right? You know, you're close. You're halfway there. But, you know, we were up there in San Antonio, so my wife said, hey, you've never been to the Alamo. So yesterday when the conference got done for the school, we went by the Alamo. And, boy, I got to looking around that place. I got to thinking, boy, I mean, can you imagine? Now, I realize what you see today as the Alamo is not all the Alamo. There was a whole lot in front of it. For those that have been there, that extends out over to the streets and you know, it's been changed from back in 1836. I believe that's the date when it happened. But, you know, I was thinking about those guys in the Alamo. You think, oh, that must have been hell being overrun by 6,000, whatever there were, Mexican troops there. It must have been hell to be in siege for 13 days knowing that you're going to die and knowing your fate. And you know what? They fought to the bitter end, you know. And there's a famous saying from there. You know what it is. People use it all the time. Davy Crockett even used it. He told the people that wouldn't vote for him, you can go to you know where and I'll go to Texas. I mean, Texas is famous for that, right? I mean, we tell people that all the time. But you know what? We're making light of it. And the devil wants you to make light of it. Take your Bibles. Look over in Revelation chapter number 20. Look there if you would in Revelation chapter number 20. And we're going to read about a place. It's called the Lake of Fire. You say, oh, isn't it the same thing? Not necessarily. Say, how do you know? Well, the Bible tells us so. Revelation chapter 20. Now you say, let me just give you a quick update timeline real quick. We, in the church age... Say, what's the church age? It's where you live right now. I didn't know that. Well, okay, now you do. You're living in the church age. Guess what? Church age ends with the rapture of the church saints. The rapture of all saints that have died from the day of Pentecost up till now. Jesus Christ comes back and gets His bride. We're taken out of here. Immediately after that is 7 years tribulation.
At the end of the 7 years tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return at the second advent. He's going to destroy the armies of the Antichrist. He's going to take the Antichrist and the false beast. Let's look at that. I'll back you up one chapter to be all right. Revelation chapter 19, look at verse 20. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So when he comes back at the second advent, he takes the false prophet and the Antichrist, and he throws them in a place called the lake of fire. You say, well, isn't that hell? No, not necessarily. Look at Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter number 20, the Bible says in verse 10, hey, after the millennial reign, once Jesus Christ does away with the Antichrist and his false prophet, Satan is bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That's what Revelation 20 is all about. And at the end of Revelation 20 in verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And when they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Let me just give you a thought right there. You know why the devil's so encouraging and so happy to send you to hell? Because he don't ever go there. You say, whoa. No, not the place called hell. He's bound in the bottomless pit. That's a little different. But he does go to a place called the lake of fire. See it? It says, and the devil deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now, look at something where the beast and the false prophet are. We're going to deal with that in a minute. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I'm going to add a few evers, because forever and ever, you can add all the evers you want. You're not changing the Word of God. Put your big infinity sign out there. I never understood that in math, how they figure out infinity. You know, they can't even figure out real numbers, and they're going to throw something out there that don't even exist. Beat everything I've ever seen. Then on top of that, they stick a negative infinity over there to balance it out. Just nonsense. Nonsense. But you have to learn it. Kids, don't tell your teachers I said it was nonsense. You might get an F. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Now look at this. And death and hell. See it? Delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Say, I thought you never got out of hell. Well, you do. Say, well, my preacher was wrong. Well, I know what preachers mean. Eternal punishment is eternal punishment. But when you divide it up, you get out of hell, but you just get to get put in the lake of fire. In the South, we have a term. It's called out of the frying pan and into the fire. Now, if you're in the frying pan, you got to think about this. Next time you ladies are frying up chicken or frying up something, I don't know, it's South Texas. Y'all grill more than you fry, probably. But, you know, you might as well start grilling. I mean, you might as well learn to fry, because it's going to be in heaven. Marriage Supper of the Lamb, it's going to be there. Fried chicken, sweet tea. I think there's going to be a fountain. A whole fountain of sweet tea. You say, why? Because I can drink it. And it don't affect my blood sugar. It don't affect my weight. It don't affect anything. Why? That's why they call it heaven. I mean, there'll be no need for anything to be unsweet. Really? I mean, come on. That's what hell's for. Unsweet tea. Splenda. Sweet and low. All those good things. But notice here, back on track. Notice here. Hey, the Bible says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Hey, you get, there's only one thing worse than being in the frying pan. And that's if you got out of the frying pan and fell into the fire. Right? Think about that. You know what the Bible says here? It says, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his work. Look at verse 14. And death and hell
were cast into the lake of fire, this is the what? The second death. We got a saying. You've heard preachers preach it. Born once, that's physical. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And if you make it to the rapture, you don't even die once. You're like Enoch. You're translated that you should not see death. But notice here, the Bible says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. If hell and the lake of fire are the same, you wouldn't cast them into the same, right? It's a different place. Now, so when the Bible speaks of eternal punishment and eternal fire, hey, I know that hell is there. I know that it's real. And I know that you're going to last in there until the Lord. Hey, if you died today and went to hell and the rapture took place tomorrow, you'd at least be in there for 1,007 years, according to the Bible, before this event takes place, which is called the Great White Throne Judgment. But you're taken up. And the Bible says death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was spared judgment because of the love of God and got a slap on the wrist and 10 days in the lake of fire and now afterwards went into the New Jerusalem and lived happily ever after. Boy, that sounds good, don't it? That's not what it says. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Boy, Johnny Cash just thinks he fell in a ring of fire. He may have went to heaven. He might have been saved. I'm just talking about that song he wrote. You know, they sang about falling in love. It's like falling in a ring of fire. Sometimes it can be. It'll burn. I mean, that's a whole other sermon. Brother Holmes, you preach on that tonight, Brother Hosey. Help me out there. But notice here, hey, he says was cast into the lake of fire. You ever wondered why all these rock groups like to have fire in their concert? I never understood that. You say, why? Because Satan knows. I mean, boy, they think, hey, you know what? People say, oh, I like to play with fire. Why? You're going to get burned. My grandma, boy, there's all kind of wives' tales I learned growing up. My grandma, you say, you play with matches, you wet the bed. Make you think twice about playing with matches. Won't it? I think that's what some wives' tales were invented, just to keep us kids out of trouble. You know, my grandma used to say, hey, if it's raining and the sun's shining, the devil's beating his wife. I didn't know the devil had a wife. But I used to picture him as a kid down there in hell with his pitchfork beating his wife. See, what do you think Satan's trying to, he's trying to numb you down? We play with fire all the time, preacher. It don't hurt. I can run my finger right through the flame. Yeah, if you run it fast enough. Keep it in there a little while. Like forever. Say, oh no. Oh no. But notice here. Hey, they were cast into the lake of fire. Say, what is a lake of fire? To be honest with you, perfectly honest, I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know exactly where it is. But it's obvious that death and hell were cast into there. It's not the same. There's a place out there. Hey, if you look scripturally at this point in time in the Bible, hey, the earth is being burned anyway. Global warming finally comes true. Revelations chapter number, or excuse me, 1 Peter chapter number 3. It finally comes true. Or 2 Peter, whatever it is. Y'all know where it's at. We're not preaching on that. If not, you can find it or I'll find it for you later. I don't know. Just do something with it. But notice here. Hey, we're dealing with the facts of the lake of fire. Say, preacher, you're interjecting a lot of humor. Yeah. But it's really a grave topic. Now take your Bibles. You ready for the message? Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 41. Got one verse. See, we had to set this up. Folks, hell is a literal place for literal people. Hell is in the center of the earth. But hell is not the final destination. If you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, you go to hell. But one day at the great white throne judgment, after the tribulation, after the millennium, after all those things, Bible says death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They stood before God.
And whoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now I want to show you the truths about the lake of fire. Why? Because Satan has sold you so many lies. There's people that get all confused about a lake of fire and about hell. There's people that get all confused because their Bible doesn't say hell. There's people that get all confused because, hey, they just don't believe that God could send a person to hell. Hey, if He sent His own Son there, don't you think twice that He wouldn't send you there. That ought to sum it up right there. That ought to solve the love movement right there in Christianity. But in Matthew chapter 25, let's look at one verse. I want to show you four truths about this lake of fire. Now that we've established that it exists, we've established what it is, we've established where it is, and well, not necessarily the lake of fire, it's somewhere out there. We've established those things, but you know what? Hey, we've established who goes there. We've established why people go there. Let's look at some truths concerning that place. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse number 41, now I realize the doctrinal content of this passage. Hey, if you look at it, this is called the judgment of the nations. And at the judgment of the nations, this is where some nations go into the millennial reign for what they did in helping Israel, and some nations don't. And this is for what happened in the tribulation. This judgment here in Revelation 25, it has nothing to do with you if you're saved, born again right now in the church age. Don't get confused by that. But we want to look at a verse and find some truths. Now, look at verse number 41. This is talking about the nations that didn't help Israel. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, the devil's thrown in the lake of fire. So this is what he's talking about. But guess what? Those that die and go to hell, they get thrown in the lake of fire. This is the eternal spot, folks. Let me show you four quick things about the lake of fire. Number one, as we said about hell, the lake of fire is a real place. Look at verse number 41. What does Jesus say? We're looking at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ is a liar, then we might as well put our Bibles under the pews and go to the house and do something else today than be here. But He's not. And these are the words that came out of His mouth. You say, preacher, I don't like preaching on hell and the lake of fire. Hey, I'm not preaching right now. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Hey, the Bible says, if you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice it's all in red. Why? Because Jesus is speaking. And notice what He said. He said, depart from me. If the lake of fire is not a real place, then you can't depart unto it. If I tell you to depart the building and go to Never Never Land, you say, preacher, we can't go there. That's right. It's because it ain't real. If I tell you to depart and go to Ed Roy, why that comes to mind, I don't know. There ain't nothing there but a feedlot and a bad smell. But if I said, go depart and go to Ed Roy, say, why can you say that? Because Ed Roy exists. If I said go to Kingsville, if I said go to wherever on the planet, you could go there. Folks, Jesus Christ said, depart from me. Not only is it a literal place, but it is not a place that is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and there's by chance somebody here in a crowd this size, more than likely there he is. Hey, if you're lost, do not be suckered. Do not believe that somehow you are going to get around hell, you are going to get around the lake of fire, that you will wind up in the presence of God because Jesus Himself said, depart from me into everlasting fire. Ye cursed. But notice here, it is a real place. Why? Because Jesus sends people there. Say, He would never do that. Sure He would. You mean the same man that had enough love and compassion to die on the cross? Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if he stated that verse, that there's a possibility of perishing, isn't it amazing? The verse we all love, for that God is love and Jesus is love and He loves everybody and He loves the sinner, He hates the sin, that's a bunch of junk. You go over in Proverbs, you find people that God hates. He that soweth discord among the brethren, God hates. Hey, there are people of God. Hey, you know, we've been fed a lot of lies. Jesus Christ says, depart from me. Why? Because there's a place of eternal punishment for not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, for not following what the Word of God says in regards to being saved. But number two, I want you to look at something. Notice who he said. He was specific. He said, depart from me, who? Ye cursed. You say, why could the Lord Jesus Christ send somebody to hell? Because they're cursed. And no cursed thing can enter into heaven. You're in Revelations. Hey, we go over, you stay here in Matthew, but if you look in Revelations chapter number 22, the Bible's talking about it, and it says, in verse 21, chapter 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire. Say, why? What kind of God would allow sin into heaven when He had to send His own Son, who never sinned, but became sin, that you and I could be saved? Say, what's the number one reason I believe people die and go to hell? Because I believe in their heart they think they'll get out of it. Or they think that it's not real. We blasted both of those this morning. Not we, not us, but the Word of God. Notice here, He said, ye cursed. You know what? The lake of fire, hey, it is a real place, but it is for a cursed people. Let me show you something. You say, preacher, I've done a lot of good works. Preacher, I've given to the church. I have followed the commandments as best I could. Hey, I have given, I have sacrificed, I have helped, I have read, I have prayed, I have did all the good works. Take your Bibles, I want you to look at something. Look at Malachi, it's just the next book of the Bible to your left, it's the last book of the Old Testament. Look at Malachi, chapter number 4, if you would. Malachi, chapter number 4. And if you would, look in verse number 6. Say, what is that, preacher? It's the last verse of the Old Testament. It's the last verse of the Old Testament. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. You say, what is that for? What's that mean? I just want to show you something. The Old Testament is synonymous with the law. And under the law, salvation was by works. You either brought the sacrifice or you didn't. You either kept the commandments or you didn't. It's works, it's works, it's works, it's works. That's what people believe in today. I'm a good person, preacher, but you're cursed. I'm a good person, but you're cursed. I've been baptized. I'm a church member. I've gave $50,000 every week to the church. I don't know of anybody that does that here. Feel free, please do. Go ahead. But, and we'll find some good use for it. But hey, that you're still cursed. You say, oh, I've witnessed. You're still cursed. Hey, you say, hey, I've done this for God. You're cursed. Look at it. If you're trusting works for salvation, the Bible says, hey, the last word in the Old Testament is cursed. Do you realize that God left them hanging with a curse? And then Jesus came. Take your Bibles, flip over real quick, just show you something kind of cool. Look in Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. You say, why am I cursed? Well, let me show you why you're cursed. Hey, you're cursed because the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse. And don't think you're going to get out of your curse when Jesus couldn't get out of His. Now I know, don't take what I just said there wrong. I know that He didn't have to do what He did. But once He got on the cross, folks, He became sin for us. And when He became sin, there was a curse put on Him. And He had to die. You say, what is the lake of fire for? It's for cursed people.
Look at this in Galatians chapter number 3. And I don't even lost my place. I don't even know where Galatians is. It's somewhere around here. Somewhere Ephesians, you know, go eat popcorn or whatever you kids say. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Where are you at? Galatians chapter 3. There we go. Now look at this. Bible says here in Galatians chapter 3, and I've lost... There we go. I got it right. Verse 13. They say, wow. Boy, verse 13. Boy, ain't that a curse? See, everything man does comes from the Bible. You say, why am I scared of number 13? We got to stay... The school put me and Shannon up. I've heard this all my life. School put me and Shannon up at the Omni up there in San Antonio. Boy, we'd really live in the dream. Staying at the Omni, eating at Chick-fil-A, and going to Bass Pro Shops. Can't beat it with a stick. But they put us up there. We got in an elevator, Shannon said, hey, there's no 13th floor. And there wasn't. The numbers went, 1, 2, the numbers went L, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14. I said, well, good, because we're on the 14th floor. That makes us on the 13th floor. She said, I don't know if I like that. And I said, hey, don't worry about it. Look in Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from what? From the curse of the law. You know what? You say, preacher, I'm going to work my way to heaven. Go ahead. You're cursed. Be my guest. You're cursed. And Christ died to redeem you from the curse of the law. You think it's a coincidence that the last word in a King James Bible in, by the way, the 39th book of the Bible is Malachi? The very last word in that book is curse. 3 times 13 is what? 39. You go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, and God says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse. See, there it is. See, I'm telling you, folks, the lake of fire is for accursed people. And don't think for a minute that you're going to get out from under that curse when the Lord Jesus Christ was put under the same curse so that you and I could be saved. Look at this. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's what He did. Take your Bibles, go back to Matthew chapter 24. Hope you stuck a card there. If not, fairly easy to find. Go to the curse and hang a right. Matthew chapter 25, what are we doing? We're looking at truths about the lake of fire. Number one, it's a real place that's not in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Depart from me. Number two, it is for accursed people. Say, how can I get out from under the curse? Christ died to redeem us from the curse of the law. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you ask Him to save you and He redeems you. Being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're not redeemed with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb, as a lamb without spot. Hey, we get redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, third of all, it was number one, as He said, depart from me. Why? Because if you depart there, it's a real place. Number two, He said, ye cursed. He said, hey, it's for accursed people. Number three, He said, ye cursed into everlasting fire. Say, it's an everlasting place. So what does everlasting mean? I don't have any concept of everlasting. You say, why? Maybe some of you do. You think this sermon's everlasting. Trust me, hell's longer. And the lake of fire's longer than that. I know this. I know in Revelations, you don't have to turn there because we already saw it. In Revelations chapter 19, in verse number 20, it said, the beast and the false prophet, were, that's the Antichrist, the false prophet, were cast where? Into the lake of fire. And then over there in Revelation chapter 20, 1,000 years later, it says, and the devil was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet were. No. Where the beast and the false prophet are. Because they're still there. You say they're still there 1,000 years later? Yeah. And they're going to be there infinity later. To infinity and beyond. Buzz Lightyear was right about one thing. Infinity is beyond. But notice here. It is an everlasting place. You say, preacher, I can endure punishment for a while. Can you endure it forever? Your mind don't even comprehend that. You know what? My mind don't even comprehend 1,000 years. You say, why? Because if I'm lucky, I'm going to get 70, 75, 80. And we try to comprehend 1,000, let alone eternity. Folks, a lake of fire, it's a real place. Depart from me. It's for accursed people, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. It is an everlasting place. Say, preacher, is there any good news whatsoever in this sermon? Yep. Last thing I want to show you. That right there in itself is good news, right? But notice here, in Matthew chapter 25, in verse number 41, the Bible says, then he shall say unto them on their left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. But look at this. Prepared for who? Prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you realize that the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels? Do you realize it didn't say it was prepared for you? You say, yeah, but I thought you said lost people who die and go to hell and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought you said those are the people that wind up there. They are. But they were not supposed to. When God created Adam and Eve, they were supposed to multiply, be fruitful, and replenish the earth. But they chose sin. And they put mankind under a curse. But you know what? God didn't write it off right there. He could have wrote it off and been just and holy and said, well, I tried. They messed up. I gave them every option. They blew it. But you know what he said? He said, no. He said, there would be a sacrifice. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. That's the first prophecy of the virgin birth. Why? Because women have no seed. The seed comes from the male. That shows you right there that the birth of the Savior. It said, thou shalt bruise his heel, and he shall bruise thy head. The one that would come. Now I know the Catholics in their drawings, they got Mary standing on the serpent. That ain't what it says. It's the seed. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who bruises the head of Satan. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that destroys him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days resurrected over death, hell, and the grave, victorious. Why? So that you and I could not go to a place that was not prepared for us. That's why he did it. You see, there's a way. Hey, you don't have to go to the lake of fire. Yes, it is a real place. Yes, it is for accursed people. But the good news is, hey, you can get out from under the curse. All you got to do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, it just can't be that easy. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, God shall think about saving him. And hopefully by the end of his life, he will have done good enough good works that he makes it. No. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Say, why? Because that's what Jesus Christ came for. To get you and I out from under a curse. So that you and I would not have to go to a place that is not prepared. You know what? Most people know this verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. What does it say over there? God is not slack concerning His promise. There is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He had saved the whole entire world. Say, how do you know that? Because He died to do it. Say, what about those people in the Old Testament? He gave them the law. He gave them away until His blood through His Son could be shed. But the Lord Jesus Christ would not have any perish. God would not have any perish. You say, well, that means He won't send them to hell. No, that's not what it says. It says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. There's repentance involved. There's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner and saying, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it also says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. What are you confessing? Confessing Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you know what you're saying? You're saying, God, I can't do it. I can't earn it. I can't get it. I can't win it. I can't buy it. But Jesus Christ did. You're confessing Him over yourself. You're trusting in Him and His shed blood alone. And if there's someone here this morning that hadn't done that, today would be the best day of your life. It'd be the best opportunity. Why? Because life is frail. There's no telling what will happen to any person that leaves this building. We think we're going to the restaurant to eat. We might make it there. We might not. I mean, David said there's but a step between me and death. I might not get through preaching this sermon. You're free to go if something happens. But seriously, life is so fragile. Here for a moment, gone. It's like a vapor. But you know what? That's why Jesus died. That's why He came. As you bow your heads and they come with a hymn of invitation, let me just remind you something. By the Word of God, I did the best that we could to try to show you. Hell is real, but the lake of fire is real and it's worse. Because one day those that are in hell go into the lake of fire. One day hell itself is cast into the lake of fire. There'll be no more frying pan. It's just a fire. And the Bible says, it was not prepared for you. You can go there. There's a lot of places on earth that are not really for Christians. And we go there anyway. Hell and the lake of fire was not prepared for mankind. But if you choose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you can go there. If God spoke to your heart this morning, if you know you're lost, if you came to the building, the church this morning, maybe knowing that you're lost and not saved, you are to come. When they start singing this invitation hymn, you are to come down front here. We've got plenty of men. We've got plenty of women for the ladies. We've got couples that can speak. Somebody can take you and show you from the Word of God exactly how to be saved. Say, preacher, I'm not sure. This is the first time I've ever heard about this. I don't know all about hell and I don't understand all about salvation. But all I know is I don't want to go to that place you described and that the Bible preaches about this morning. Why don't you come? Somebody can show you, answer questions. Say, are you going to pressure us into doing anything? We're not talking about joining the church. We're not talking about doing anything other than being receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, being saved, leaving this building knowing that you are not headed to a place that is not even prepared for you. But you know what the alternative is? Jesus said what? I go to prepare a place for you. See, there is a place that's prepared for you. Say, what's the difference? You can either go to a place that's not or a place that is. It all hinges on what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. God spoke to your heart. You are to come this morning. Lord God, we thank You for this. Thank You for Your Word. We thank You that there's way more warnings in the Bible about hell. We thank You that Your Word tells us and shows us it's a real place. Lord, I know that we can't really describe it and we can't really understand it and we can't really fathom it in our minds. But Lord God, Your Scripture gives us a good enough idea. Lord God, help those that are here this morning that may not be sure of their salvation or may be lost, Lord God, know they're lost. Help them to believe Your Word. Help the Holy Spirit of God to deal with their hearts. Help them to have a desire to come and want to talk to somebody about being saved. Help them, Lord God, before it's too late. And most of all, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ who died on a cross, who became a curse, that endured the shame, that we might not have to go to a place that was not prepared for us, but that we could go to a place that was. We thank You for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.